Welcome once again to Beef News and Notes, information for both the producers and the consumers of our great product, beef. Well, it's getting to be that time of the year again, when cattle producers start focusing their attention on putting up corn silage. To talk about this process, we have with us Leon Plates from Wabasso. He and his crew are in the custom harvesting business. Welcome to the program, Leon.
Hi, good to talk to you.
Well, just tell us a little bit about your harvesting equipment and crew, Leon.
We've got two Klaus choppers. One's a new one, one's 3 years old. 8-row, 650 horse machines. We've got about 8 trucks available. It's a family process with the help of some neighbors and other people who like to be involved in the harvest.
So your year with this harvesting just doesn't start with the silage, corn silage. You do haylage probably and oatlage and earlage. How does the season kind of run for you?
We do some haylage and oatlage, not a large amount. There's not a lot of large dairies in our area, but we do get involved in that. And we do quite a lot of earlage in the fall. It's a good cattle finishing feed.
Okay. So as far as you mentioned, you got a 650 horsepower chopper, but you have two of them. And what kind of capacity or tons per hour can they harvest in good corn?
In good corn, and everything works well, we can do about 200 ton an hour. Depends a little on where we're putting the feed and how we're storing it, but it works pretty well. We'll try to do 2,000 ton a day with a machine.
And for each chopper, you need how many trucks to keep the silage away?
Depends on the haul. 4, 5, 6 trucks, and it depends on where we're dumping and all that sort of thing. So there's a lot of things that become involved as to what you need at a particular job.
All right. And you do kind of provide a full service where if people don't have a tractor for pushing up the silage and packing it, you do have your own four-wheel drive with a blade on it?
We have a four-wheel drive available with a blade and a large front-wheel assist tractor with a blade. And we'll do as much or as little as a particular producer wants us to do.
Okay. Well, what are your thoughts on this year's silage cutting season? When will it start? And I guess my question to you is, how good or bad is it? I know a year ago you and I visited on this program and Goss's wilt was an issue. And I know in my area by Gilfillan, we have a wind event that went through there where we have some down corn. What are you seeing?
Well, right now there is some Goss's wilt. Primarily that's those people that weren't proactive enough with the hybrids they selected, but it's less of a problem than previously. The corn looks good. I'm estimating, it's my personal opinion, we're about 2 to 3 weeks behind where we'd normally be, but we are going to start filling a bunker on Friday as the way it looks right now.
Okay. Well, what should producers themselves be looking for as far as walking in the field and checking the maturity of the corn? What do you kind of use for a judgment?
They need to look at the status of their corn. Usually, if you get to a half milk line, from there on, it's time to be ready to go. Too many producers wait until their neighbor does something, and then they call. But you need to watch the maturity of your particular fields.
Okay, and so letting it get too dry gets to be an issue as far as the storage and a good pack and that type of thing.
That makes storage an issue. If it gets too dry, you can still make pretty good feed, but you got to be careful, and it takes extra work.
Okay. Now, a lot of these different feed companies in our area do have the service where if you want to take a sample in and have it tested, what kind of moisture would you like to see for a pack?
Usually on a bunker silo, a little below 70, 65 is a real good number to shoot for. If it's going to go in a silo or a bag, you probably look at about 60%.
Okay. So, Leon, you just mentioned the various types of storage that are out there. What would you say is your favorite from a custom standpoint?
Oh, the easiest by far and away is to put it in a bunker silo. But it depends on the individual producer and how much feed they need.
Okay. One thing I've observed over the last couple of years with some of the larger dairies that are being built, you'll see it where they're going away from a bunker and they're just going with kind of a, I don't know how you'd describe the pile, just a round type of a pile. What's the thought there?
They're becoming so large that the bunker walls are not economically feasible. and you're not limited by the capacity of the bunker. You can literally make the pile as big as you need to make it.
And there's probably more room on the pile, too, as far as for trucks dumping on all sides of it and the packing process, too, probably.
That is an issue. It does open up the area and makes harvest a lot simpler.
Okay. Finally, let's just talk about inoculants, how they work, how safe they are for the livestock to be consuming. Let's just talk about that in closing.
Well, the inoculants, there's a lot of naturally occurring bacteria out there, and whenever you harvest these wet products, fermentation is going to take place. We try to inoculate with bacteria that favorably impact the feed that we're storing. It makes the feed more digestible for the animals, and they're extremely safe because they're all naturally occurring bacteria. We're simply putting the ones we prefer.
Okay, so end result for our listeners out there that are going to various markets to buy our great product, beef, totally safe, cattle consume it, natural product, good for everybody, right?
Indeed.
All righty. Well, thanks for being on the program, Leon, and best of luck with your custom business. And you also have a cattle feedlot, and best of luck with that this fall, too.
Appreciate the time for you to have me here, and we appreciate KLGR taking the time to give us this spot.
All right. Well, until next week, thanks for listening, and we'll talk again.